Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today. We are going to be talking about our promised miracle, but I think it might be a little bit different than you might think this is going to be. You know, we tend to act on our feelings based on what we believe. Many people live out of their feelings, and feelings do not always equal the truth. To put that in a little different way, just because I have feelings about something, no matter how strong they are, does not mean that my feelings are necessarily based on the truth. We all know that a child's perception of a situation can be a lot different from the reality of what actually happened. A child could be heartbroken because of an event in their childhood, and then at some point in their adult life, that child hears the explanation of what really happened, which was beyond what they could understand at the time as a child. They may even find out that what they thought was horrible as a child was done for their benefit or for their protection. And now, as an adult, they can look at what was once very painful as a child who had limited understanding through the eyes of reality instead, allowing them to start letting go of the painful emotions that were attached to that event. To change your behavior, which is driven by your emotions, you must know and understand the truth. It is truth that will set you free, and that can be a messy process. To experience victory in any area of your life, you must overcome limiting beliefs in that area. And don't turn me off. I know I just said to experience victory, and that just sounds way too far-fetched for you right now. I know. Do I believe God killed my daughter to use it in some way in my life? Absolutely not. Do I believe that God allowed the natural consequences of a fallen and sinful world to take effect, not stopping it, even though many people were praying for her healing? Yes, I do. Do I still give him permission to do what he wants to do as God instead of what I want him to do? Because he can see so much more than I can see as him being the father and me being the child. Absolutely. I have chosen not to change my thoughts and beliefs on who God is because I did not get a prayer answered the way I wanted him to, no matter how painful it can be. And this is where the miracles come in that I want to talk about in today's episode. A miracle needs to take place in each one of us after the death of our child to set us free from the suffocating dark pit we found ourselves hurled into. And a miracle is something, I see it as something only God can do. When Jesus walked this earth, he did so many miracles in his 3 years of ministry time, but he also warned his followers that we're going to have trials, tribulations, difficult things happen in our lives while we're here on earth. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus talked to his disciples about sending the Holy Spirit after he went back to heaven, he told us that the Holy Spirit was being sent to be our comforter. He didn't say he was sending the Holy Spirit to be a constant miracle worker like me. Now, a lot of Bible translations use the word comforter, but it's also translated as counselor, helper, advocate, strengthener, or companion. But none of those translations say anything about Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to be like him, to be able to heal every single person we touch or we pray for. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe God still does miracles. I also believe that quite often we're praying for some outward miracle of a changed circumstance, like when Jesus was here on earth, when so often I believe the miracle God wants to do is inside us through the power of the Holy Spirit. I think what God does to bring us through to the other side of the worst possible thing that could happen to us is a miracle. We don't think we're ever going to be able to get out of the suffocating darkness. We're in year one, we're in year two, and it's still just a very dark, painful place. We don't think we're ever going to be able to enjoy life again. The place we're in is just too dark. It's too heavy. It's too deep of a pit. Wouldn't it be a miracle if God could pull you out of this? Wouldn't it be a miracle if you got to the point where you were okay to go on living without your child here? I don't mean happy. I don't mean okay with it in, oh, que sera, sera, yeah, life is good again. Not that, but being okay. I know where my child is, and I'm finally okay with being here without him or her. Do I like it? No. Does it not hurt anymore? No. But wouldn't it be even more of a miracle if you wanted to live a life of meaning and purpose again while you are waiting to be reunited with your child? Does that seem impossible? Welcome to the world of miracles. Many of us have been taught that we need to have enough faith to see miracles happen. But my question is, how much is enough? If that's all it takes, then it seems we did not have enough faith to keep our child from dying, doesn't it? I believe faith is not being presumptuous in telling God what the outcome should be. In our speaking, declaring, this is what's going to happen. This is what God is going to do. And telling God, this is what you have to do. It's in knowing. Faith is in knowing intimately and trusting the God who holds the final outcome in his hands. It's believing that if he does not do the outward miracle that I want or I think I need, that he will do an inner miracle, a miracle on the inside of me to get me through it. In other words, faith is trusting in God to do the miraculous based on his course of action, in his infinite, you know, being able to see everything, and not my course of action in my finite mind and what I think I see and think I know. And I know this is a very difficult thing to understand and comprehend and wrap our head around, especially when we're in so much pain. We all know God could have stepped in and saved our child from leaving this earth so early, but for whatever reason, he didn't. But that does not mean that God did not step in and do a miracle. Maybe, just maybe, the person he wants to save is you in a way you never even knew you needed. After all, God already did a miracle for our child by meeting them at the transfer point and welcoming them to a place of absolute perfection that our minds cannot even begin to comprehend. You know, I think Mary and Martha in the Bible must have felt so betrayed by God, betrayed by Jesus, a good friend of theirs. I mean, they sent for Jesus when Lazarus was sick, but their brother died because Jesus purposely stayed put for 3 days before heading to them. And both sisters questioned Jesus. In John chapter 11, they said, "If you had come, he wouldn't have died. Why didn't you come and heal him?" They knew Jesus could have healed their brother because they followed him. They watched Jesus do miracles constantly. He did so many miracles. The Bible tells us they couldn't even all be recorded in John chapter 20, verse 30, meaning there are hundreds of miracles we don't even know about. I'm sure they were thinking, it's our turn. We need a miracle now. This time, it wasn't just some stranger reaching out to Jesus. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were some of his closest friends outside of the 12 apostles. He often stopped at their house for a meal or to stay overnight while he was traveling. But Jesus knew there was something greater to happen through the death of Lazarus than through a miraculous healing. And yes, I'm going there. Just hear me out, okay? One evening, while I was talking to a group of Pereavers online, I found myself in tears as I had the realization that I am doing what I do today because Becca did not receive the miraculous healing that she needed for her heart. And I don't have to tell you how devastated I was and the suffocating darkness it put me in when she died. I held on to God with everything I had, like Jacob wrestling with the angel, telling him, I am not letting go of you, God, until you miraculously turn it around for me to see some kind of a blessing on the other side of this. And I know that seems like a crazy thing to fight for, because how is it even remotely possible to have a blessing in my life as a result of something so horrific as my daughter's death? I was crying out for it, but that didn't mean I believed that I knew it could happen or I could see it happening. But the thing is, here I am. It's hard to explain how fulfilled and blessed I feel to be a light to thousands of grieving parents who find themselves in the same darkness I was once in. Through the ministry of GPS Hope that God has given Dave and I to steward for you. Does it make me glad that Becca died so I could be doing this? Absolutely not. I would trade it all in an instant to have her back with me here on earth, but I can't. God did not betray me, and He did not betray you. This might be impossible to believe right now for you like it was for me, but He has something for you that goes beyond the death of your child. Just like Lazarus, and just like me with Becca, and just like thousands of bereavers ahead of you, Jesus knows that somehow through a miracle, something only He can do, that something greater can actually happen through the death of your precious child than through the miraculous healing or His hand of protection that we so desperately wanted for our children. And no, God did not kill your child to teach you a lesson. He never does that. It's impossible for Him to do something like that. He just knows that the eternal fruit of our child's departure can outweigh the eternal fruit of them staying here with us. And I'm guessing you might be thinking, maybe God turned your daughter's death into something good for you, Laura, but I don't ever see that happening for me. I'm not going to do some ministry like you are. And that's okay if you can't see it for yourself right now. And I didn't see a ministry for me either. And I'm not saying that's what God has for you. But myself and other parents who have been right where you are, we will be your eyes to see it for you, and we'll be your hope to believe it for you until you have your own hope to believe and your own eyes to see. I know that in our darkness, we're waiting a long time because God is doing a deep, deep work in each of us. He will even let us be angry with Him and believe He has betrayed us as He is at work in our darkness. Just like Lazarus, Jesus knows something greater can happen through the death of your precious child than through a miraculous healing or His hand of protection, like I said, that we so desperately wanted for each of them. And I'm sorry if that just makes you bristle and makes you angry. You don't like hearing that. But like I already said, and I'm going to say it again, God knows that at some point, the eternal fruit of their departure outweighs the eternal fruit of them staying here. And don't you want your child to have an eternal legacy, eternal fruit for the kingdom of God? And I know the most frustrating part is that not all of us will get to see what that is. There are people in the Bible who experience that, the whole Hebrews 11 faith chapter, but it talks about those who had the faith that pleased God, even though they did not get to see the promise happening with their own eyes in their lifetime while they were here on this earth. And that's going to happen for some of us too. But you can be sure that God has an eternal plan that was set in motion by the death of your child before he or she was even a thought to you. I have a friend in this grief world. Some of you have heard me talk to her, Angela Alexander, who has had to overcome the death of two brothers, the loss of a baby during a pregnancy, a new husband, they were newlyweds, who miraculously survived a brain aneurysm. He had to learn how to do everything again, from eating and talking and walking. She was his caregiver through that. She's gone through a brother murdering their sister, who is Angela's lifelong very best friend. And then she went through the death of two of her sons in a bizarre car accident while she was on military duty in Japan. Angela wrote a book titled Miracles in Action, which has also been turned into a documentary film. And Angela stands firm on Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, that tells us we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What testimony? I think I hear you probably asking. The one God is still writing in your life. A testimony comes from being tested, and we can come out the other side filled with God's love, with forgiveness and mercy, which are miracles in action. Losing a child from this earth is probably the greatest test you will face in your lifetime, and you may feel like you are failing it miserably and that you will never be able to pass, especially with all the anger or the confusion that is inside you. Just remember others who have gone before you, like Angela. Look at those who are truly miracles in action because of what God has done on the inside of them, that inner miracle, knowing that when you keep turning it all over to God, your internal miracle is being worked out in you every single day, whether you feel it or not. Psalm 107, verse 14 says, His light broke through the darkness, and He led us out in freedom from death's dark shadow and snapped every one of our chains. I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you believe that the eternal fruit of your child's death is a powerful thing that can eventually outweigh the belief that God betrayed you by not keeping your child here on earth, even if you don't get to see that fruit until you join them. Now, I used to teach preschool, and we talked about God doing miracles, Jesus doing miracles, and the easiest description of the word miracle I could come up with to share with these little three-year-olds was something only God can do. You've already heard me say that in the podcast, and I would ask them, what is a miracle? And we would all say this together, something only God can do. Some of us have been taught that miracles were only for Bible times. And some of us were taught that God still does miracles today. But no matter what your belief is in this area, we all wanted a miracle for our children to keep them from dying, whether it was healing them from a sickness or healing them from an accident of some kind or praying protection over them to keep them from deathly harm. But obviously that miracle we wanted didn't happen. And I am so sorry. Quite often, we're looking for a miracle to happen physically, like a healing or protection from an accident. In other words, stopping someone, like our child, from leaving this earth through death. But even before my daughter died, I often thought there are so many times we underestimate the miracle that happens inside of us. And that has become even more true for me after Becca's death. I think the greater miracle is often so much more than what happens to us physically. It's what happens inside us, especially when we are in such a dark place in our grief. We think it is impossible to get out of the darkness. We think it is impossible to even want to live here without our child here with us. But that is where the truest miracle happens. It's happening so deeply inside of us, inside of you, that we can't see it or feel it for a very long time. It's like a seed that is underground. And just because we can't see anything happening does not mean the seed is dead. It may be dormant for a while. It could be dormant for a long time. But at some point, it will start forming a shoot inside itself that will eventually work its way to the top of the soil where life can be seen. The growing of a seed into a plant is a miracle. It's something only God can do. Yes, we can plant the seed. We can water it. We can make sure sunlight reaches it. Those are needed. We can even add some fertilizer. But the life itself sprouting from a seed is God's work. Breathing life into you after the death of your child is something only God can do. There are things we can and need to do to give God something to work with, like keep coming to Him, keep surrendering to Him as much as you can, but He is the one that brings life from death, both for our child who is on the other side of eternity and for us who feel like we died when our child died. I believe God works one of His greatest miracles when He brings our heart back to life after our child leaves this earth before we do. Just because God did not give us the miracle we wanted that would have kept our child here on earth with us doesn't mean He will not do a miracle to bring light and life back to you. You know, Jesus once said in Luke 18:27, "What appears humanly impossible is more than possible with God, for God can do what man cannot." You may feel like you don't want to live here without your child. You may feel like you want to figure out how to live again, but you don't see how that's possible. You need a miracle, something only God can do. Be bold and ask Him for one. After all, He has already done the miraculous work of making a way for us to be with our child again forever. God does miracles. He's already done one for our child by giving them life after death with Him, and He did the miracle of making it possible for us to join them someday, and He wants to do a miracle in you right now in giving you hope, meaning, and purpose in life as you are waiting for that time of being miraculously reunited. If you've been reading the weekly Word of Hope that I send out each week or listening to the recent podcast episodes, you know that I have been taking the Reflections of Hope book, which is a year's worth of daily readings for bereaved parents, and breaking it up into 12 monthly books. Some of you have gotten and are going through the May edition. And last I looked, if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can download it for free right now. I wanted to let you know that the June edition is now out as well. So for those of you who June is an especially rough month, you can get some daily hope and encouragement throughout the month. Don't worry about feeling like you have to read it every day. It isn't something you can fall behind in and feel guilty if you haven't read it for a while, but it's just something you can pick up and read the day you're on. Even if you haven't read it for the past 10 days or 2 weeks and you feel like reading it, pick it up and read the day that you're on to get that hope and encouragement that you need for that day. You can read it every day of the month, however it works for you. But it's there for you, and I wanted you to know about it. We're working on the rest of the 10 months. They'll be coming out shortly, as soon as we can get them out. Also, don't forget about our Weekend of Hope here in Wisconsin this August. We're so excited to have many of you here so we can spend some face-to-face time together. And I know many of you are already registered to come from literally around the nation, coast to coast. We're going to be meeting here in Wisconsin. Dr. Doug and BJ Jensen will be here as well to help Dave and I minister to you for the weekend. And we're going to be closing our time with a special Celebration of Hope dinner as we acknowledge that GPS Hope is in our 10th year. And that special dinner is included in your weekend registration. You can find out more about Doug and BJ, about the weekend. I have events planned out every night the week before the weekend, if you want to come early and make a vacation of it, and I've got those listed out, just check it out, okay? It doesn't hurt to check it out. Go to gpshope.org/weekendofhope. It's the first weekend in August, and I hope, I really do hope, that you can come and join Dave and I for that. And I will also put a link to that in the show notes. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Denzel Goredema was born on May 5th and is forever 28. Adam Walker was born on May 6th and is forever 28. Michael Slater was born on May 8th and is forever 26. Sarah Wilbur was born on May 10th and is forever 34. Justice Birgel was born on May 10th and is forever 26. We celebrate with these families the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be an important and special day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced the week of his or her birthday, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out that form, submit it, including the pronunciation. If the first or last name sometimes gets mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly for you, just send that in and I will announce your child's birthday the week of his or her birthday. Like I said at the beginning, the truth sets us free. Ask God what lie you are believing about your darkness, about the death of your child. Do you believe that you will never get out of the suffocating darkness? Allow Him to speak truth into your shattered heart and mind to set you free from that lie. This isn't a one-time fix, but it's a slow release for us. It's a slow growth for us, just like that seed sprouting underground, looking like nothing is happening. Too often, we sit back in our pain and our grief, and it's like we wait for some sort of miracle to happen in front of us when the miracle is already inside us. The miraculous isn't something we strive for. It's something we were created for. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind and your heart to the miracle He wants to do in you and to do through you, and to also help you to accept the fact that He did a different miracle for your child than the one you wanted or were asking Him for. And if you keep going, I believe with everything in me that you will eventually make the same discovery I did, that even in the pain and the darkness of the death of my daughter, I experienced a miracle-working God whom I trust more now than I ever did before. You can have H-O-P-E. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.